Geisla, I want to tell you that I'm delighted to announce I'm going to be broadcasting this show from Houston this week. And next Tuesday, we'll have a special event with Daniel Ellsberg in Houston at the Rice Campus, the Grand Hall. So all of you in Houston who want to check us out, that's going to be just one of a number of events. John Pilger film on Wednesday, special discussion about Mexico and Haiti on Thursday. Friday, a special poetry reading and related material. You don't want to miss it. If you're in Houston, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Our website, by the way, is www.flashpoints.com. .net. Our web maestro is John Lionheart. We thank her, Stephanie Hendricks, and Eric Park for helping out today. And
know about Elton. And you know about Melissa. But do you know about Doug?
Because we were out in the country, spreading our wings, wild and free.
And how about Candy?
Hey, mister, she looks real fine, but I'm not standing far behind. Is out of sight, is out of mind. She was my babe last night. Hey, mister. Hey, mister.
You can discover these artists and more like them on After Hours, Saturday midnight to Sunday 3 a.m., only on KPFT Houston.
Measured by you. La, la. Homophobic blues. So what am I supposed to do about you? I thought I made it clear. I'm not gonna cry or shed a tear. You say I'm always flaunting it, but I'm not gonna take that long, long trip. I'll live my life as I decide. I'm never, never, never gonna hide. I thought I was crazy, out of my mind, then I realized I had to close my.
For you, but it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am, and I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you.
Outside your picket fence, you can't understand why I'm not on the defense. You say I'm always flaunting it, exposing your family to all this
shit. I never kept on a thought of it.
Or know who I am. Come on, brother, let's change this plan. You're just like me. Oh, can't you see? We strive every day for a little dignity. Pursuing life, liberty, and happiness. Come on, come on, let's clear up this bad cause.
It's not contagious, just a little outrageous for you. But it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am. And I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you. Well, you don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you.
Well, that's not our normal opening. You're listening to Queer Voices. Apparently, our CD with our normal opening has disappeared. And that stuff happens.
But that was a pretty good opening. That was the Homophobic Blues by the Three Marys.
Right. And, of course, we have three JD night tonight.
Yeah, it's a triple JD night. My QMH, Queer Music Heritage, is the second hour. I happen to be on Audiophile on this way out, and I'm live.
And I wanted to ask you, JD, we were talking before the song was playing, about a little bit about what you're going to be doing next month.
Next month, I've already got my show written. The Queer Music Heritage next month will be all about gay and lesbian jazz.
And it's featuring Billy Strayhorn?
Billy Strayhorn was my impetus for doing the whole show on jazz. He, for people who don't know, was Duke Ellington's right-hand man, the composer, collaborator, some say more than half of the partnership for like 30 years, and he really shaped the Duke Ellington Orchestra. And he was a fine writer on his own. So he's
very talented musician.
Indeed,
too.
Indeed. Just a master of arranging.
You're getting ahead of yourself, because tonight's show, we're going to be talking about what's going on at Klein ISD, the dealings with the Gay-Straight Alliance. And we have a representative, David George, from the American Civil Liberties Union here in Houston, who will be on shortly. Of course, then you're also going to be talking, JD, talking about the Kinsey Six.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And among other things on This Way Out is a piece on Morse Kike, who has passed away, and he was sort of the Ray Hill of Los Angeles.
If there could be one, yes.
If there could be one, right. And he helped start the Pride celebrations in 1970.
And the Gay Community Center.
Exactly. He did a lot of stuff. I was lucky enough to meet him a couple of times. There was something on earlier on KPFT, but we're not going to comment about that. You can call the station if you want to find out more information on that. We'll go on with something else. Busy weekend.
Yeah, very busy weekend, actually, coming up. Let's see. What did we do all weekend?
Well, there was a volunteer interest session at the Pride Committee, getting jump-started for the silver anniversary this year. And there was a memorial service for Jean Harrington.
That's right, for Jean Harrington.
Saturday at Texas Southern University. Unfortunately, they forgot to turn the heat on, and it was really cold out there. And they actually just turned the fans on, so it got colder in there. But it was pretty impressive. There was a whole bunch of Jeanisms, as they called it, including one of them is he had his Christmas party after Christmas one year because he was traveling. And he didn't have a tree, so he was driving through River Oaks, and he found a tree, and he just picked it up with all the decorations and put it in his convertible and drove it home. But Gene did a whole bunch of interesting things and good things for so many different communities, not just the AIDS community. He was a professor at Texas Southern University. He's probably one of the first ones there since the early 60s. He was in the Peace Corps, and it's certainly going to be a big loss, Gene Harrington leaving our community. Well, first up is This Way Out and News Wrap.
It's enormously satisfying to speak at a mall full of lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual persons. You all look good to me.
I describe my musical style as traditional vocal jazz. I do add that flavor of lesbian identification.
Imagine if you take Stevie Wonder and then more contemporary stuff and you mix it together. It's kind of that vibe.
Humor cracks you up. And while you're cracked, we try to stick a little message in there before you close up again.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Gruesome massacre at Cape Town Gay Club leaves 9 dead. A fond farewell to a veteran activist and electronica, folk humor, and scat from the Audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinger.
News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 25th, 2003. A gruesome massacre at one of South Africa's oldest gay venues has left 9 men dead and another hospitalized. It's believed that four gang members were searching for two former employees when they invaded Sizzlers, variously described as a massage parlor and brothel located in the Sea Point area of Cape Town. Most of the victims were discovered tied up with packing tape, shot in the head at close range execution style, and also had their throat slit. Six died there and three died later in the hospital. The dead publicly identified so far are Gregory Berghaus, Sergio DeCastro, Stephanus Fouché, Morris Meyer, Travis Reed, Warren Visser, and Sizzler's owner, Eric Otgar. Although the gay community has cooperated extensively with police, the investigation is proving difficult and police are saying little. South Africa's Lesbian and Gay Equality Project believes the attack may have been a hate crime and has set up an international victim assistance fund, described at its website, www.equality.org.za. The Equality Project joined with the Gay and Lesbian Health Organization Triangle Project, the Sex Workers Education and Advocacy Task Force, and the African National Congress in arranging a public memorial service at a local Anglican church, where Cape Town's mayor was among those addressing a crowd of 300. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance, a national political party publicly rejected by most of South Africa's gay and lesbian activist groups, canceled its national convention scheduled to be held in Cape Town this week and said all members of its national executive body were leaving the Western Cape.
Gunmen also took aim this week against the lead sponsor of Colombia's bill to create registered partnerships for gay and lesbian couples, Senator Piedad Córdoba. She told reporters that as she was getting out of her car in Medellin, four men on two motorcycles shot at her. Córdoba believes it was an assassination attempt, stemming from her political opponents, but law enforcement officials are calling it an attempted robbery. In 1999, Córdoba was kidnapped by a right-wing group for 15 days. Colombia's President Álvaro Uribe, often criticized by Córdoba, issued an executive order for her full protection by public security forces. The partnership bill is scheduled for debate in the upcoming legislative session.
The European Union advanced a step towards international recognition of gay and lesbian partnerships among its 15 member states. The European Parliament's Committee on Citizens' Freedoms and Rights, Justice and Home Affairs, known as LIBE, voted by a 4-3 margin to approve an expanded definition of family that includes gay and lesbian couples. The revised definition would appear in a draft directive proposed by the European Commission regarding the free movement of EU citizens among the member states. ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, has long been lobbying for the move, and the co-chair of its European body, Kurt Krickler, explained that this directive will be crucial for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender people throughout the European Union, in particular from those countries with some sort of legislation or practice recognizing same-sex couples. Today, they cannot take their status as a legally recognized couple with them when moving to an EU country without similar legislation. And an EU citizen married to or registered with a same-sex partner from a third country cannot even bring the partner, as their union is not recognized by these countries. In addition, the European Parliament last week narrowly approved a non-binding amendment to a human rights report that called on all the EU nations to extend full spousal rights to unmarried couples, including gay and lesbian couples. However, the EP defeated another proposed amendment calling for full equal marriage rights for same-gender couples, something only the Netherlands has granted so far.
Lithuania's justice minister this week announced that anticipated EU membership could require legal recognition of same-gender couples in that Baltic former Soviet state. At a news conference, Vytautas Markevičius said that eventually Lithuania will have to consider European Court of Human Rights rulings on the subject, while also suggesting the move will have to wait until society and lawmakers of the heavily Catholic country, in his words, are ripe for it.
The family status of gays and lesbians has been controversial as the Roman Catholic Church held its fourth triennial world meeting of families in Manila. The controversy began even before the meeting, as a group called Task Force Pride issued a statement that lesbi, gays, and transgenders are also family members and should be allowed to participate. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines responded that they could do so, while noting that there would be no individual registrations for the meeting, only family registrations not open to same-gender couples. Among other groups speaking out before the meeting was Legablab, a coalition of Filipino, lesbian, gay, and transgender advocacy groups. Its statement said that the family for a number of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders is where we first encounter prejudice and abuse. The silence of the church, the government, other social institutions, and the society in general speaks loudly how such hatred, abuses, and prejudice are condoned.
But Archbishop of Manila, Jaime Cardinal Sin, called the concept of gay and lesbian marriage a product of misguided independence, defending what he called the basic family structure of father, mother, and child, which he said was put into question by proponents of same-sex marriages. To the Philippines' leading National Gay and Lesbian Civil Rights Coalition, Pro-Gay, the progressive organization of gays in the Philippines, Sin's remarks served to inflame the nation's anti-gay hatred. Pro-gay spokesperson Oscar Atadero told the BBC,
"The Catholic Church and the traditions are a big mountain that you cannot just ignore. Our economy is so backward, it's so dependent on agriculture. Young gay people cannot just become independent. We remain attached to our families even if we work abroad. That's how important families are to most Asians, gay or non-gay alike. If we Filipino gay activists say that we want same-sex partnerships, in fact, we would be helping the economy because that would legalize what we are doing for many years now, like supporting our own families of our brothers and sisters."
In heavily Catholic Croatia, a government move to recognize gay and lesbian couples under family law caused a firestorm of opposition in parliamentary debate this week. The government has proposed an inclusive amendment with respect to division of property when a couple breaks up. Even the parties of the governing coalition have not supported the move, and a member of one, the Peasants' Party, declared that homosexuals should be sent for psychological treatment to be taught to understand the attractiveness of the opposite sex. Conservatives from several parties denounced the idea of equal treatment for same-gender couples. But Croatian gay and lesbian activist groups, who held a press conference this week calling for legal protections from discrimination, remain hopeful that most members of parliament are not so intolerant and that the bill will eventually pass.
The Presbyterian Church, USA, has announced it will convene the first special assembly in its more than 200-year history to discuss enforcement of its ban on non-celibate gays and lesbians serving as clergy. The denomination's leadership had resisted some conservative members' call for the meeting, both because the ban itself has been highly divisive and because of finances. But a formal petition process forced their hand, and the meeting will be held in a month or two.
The U.S. federal government has extended unprecedented recognition to the lesbian partner of a victim of the terrorist attack on the Pentagon 16 months ago. Peggy Neff is believed to be the first lesbian or gay partner to receive an award from the Special Federal Compensation Fund, more than $550,000, an amount close to that awarded legal spouses. Her partner of 18 years, Sheila Hine, was a civilian management analyst for the Army. Neff wrote in her claim that, "Words cannot express what I have lost. She was my entire world and my soulmate, my closest confidant and best friend." The couple's case was also notable since, as a Virginia resident, Neff was rejected for state compensation funds, like those New York made available to partners of those who died at the World Trade Center. The head of the federal fund, Kenneth Feinberg, decided in her favor, although it's not yet clear if that in any way sets a precedent. The Human Rights Campaign's communication director, David Smith, said, "This is the first time that we're aware of that the federal government has specifically recognized that someone in a gay relationship should receive compensation for the loss of a partner." He attributed it in part to the efforts of the Lamb Legal Defense and Education Fund, which only this week made public Neff's acceptance letter dated late November.
And finally, some gay words from this week's Hollywood Foreign Press Association Golden Globe Awards. First, from openly gay Spanish filmmaker Pedro Almodovar, as he added a Best Foreign Film Globe to the awards he's reaped for Habla Con Ella, Talk to Her, which include Best Film and Best Director from the European Film Academy.
"There is a small detail that struck me in the hotel that I'm living here. The note you hang on your door asking no one to enter your room, what it normally said, do not disturb. Now it says peace. I like the suddenness of this detail. The doors in my hotel are crying out for peace. I would also like to dedicate this award to everyone that fight for peace and to all that are not afraid to say so. Thank you."
And from openly gay producer Scott Rudin, as he accepted the Best Drama Globe for the much-honored Oscar contender The Hours, which features lesbi gay characters and is based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by open gay Michael Cunningham.
And I mostly want to thank John Barlow. Honey, wherever you are is where I want to be. Thank you so much.
That's News Wrap for the beginning January 25th, 2015. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Week, I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
This is Joan Devlin, and you're listening to Queer Voices, and we have in our studio tonight Dave George, who is with the ACLU, and can you give us your title? Are you the president of the Houston chapter of the ACLU?
That's right. I'm president of the Houston chapter.
And you have some interesting cases coming up right now involving some local high schools here, particularly one in Klein. What's going on with that?
That's right. Last week, the ACLU filed suit against Klein High School on behalf of Marla Dukler, a 17-year-old junior at Klein. Marla and 16 other students tried to form the Gay Straight Alliance, the GSA, but Klein has not allowed them to do so. They tried to do it back in October. First thing Klein did was change the rules, put in a whole bunch of new rules, resubmitted following all the rules, and they still haven't done anything half a school year later. And this violates federal law, so we filed suit, and we're demanding that the federal courts issue an injunction ordering Klein to approve the club.
Now, talk a little bit about this federal law. What is the precedent here?
This is called the Equal Access Act. Some people know it as the Bible Club Law. It was passed in the early 1980s to allow primarily Bible clubs and Christian clubs at various high schools in the United States. The law says that if a high school that receives federal money, so public schools are all included, if they have any non-curricular club, then they must allow all non-curricular clubs without regard to the political, religious, or philosophical speech used at those clubs. And the definition of non-curricular, the Supreme Court has held, is very broad. It includes the chess club is not a curricular club. For example, they have a bass fishing club at Klein.
Right.
And there's no question, Klein has admitted that they fall under this law. So they have to approve this club.
Right. Didn't they even say that they had like a snack club or something like that?
That's what I've heard. They have some sort of snack club. I don't even know what that's about. They have a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Mm-hmm. They have various Bible clubs. They have clubs for Jewish students and in other faiths. And that's great. They should have those clubs. And that's what the First Amendment's about. That's what the law's about. But they also have to allow the Gay Straight Alliance.
Now, you said they were coming up with some interesting arguments here as to why they haven't put, you know, given permission for this club to start meeting.
Yeah. The main thing, Klein's first argument is, we have not denied the club, we just haven't acted on it. Give us time. It's only been 4 or 5 months.
Okay, now what is the normal amount of time for one of these clubs to get approved? Because I had heard it usually takes place in, like, you know, less than a week.
Normally it's very quick, and normally the superintendent doesn't approve the clubs. And the first thing they did when the Gay Straight Alliance was tried to be formed is they changed the rules. And they said now that it's going to be looked at by the superintendent. And also, you now have to have parental permission to participate in any club. And we have word that that's not being applied equally. If you're in the chess club, they don't really check to make sure your parents have signed a permission. And in addition, there's now a requirement that the club not promote directly or indirectly any violation of state law or promote anything that may be injurious to minors, including sexual conduct by minors. Now, this club, there's nothing. There's no sex going on at the club, obviously. These are
promote sex.
No. These clubs are clubs for kids to get together and talk. Gay students, straight students, and everywhere
in
between.
It's a safe place for these kids to go after school and hopefully get to know each other a little bit better, so that maybe they won't be tormented and harassed.
They're not alone.
Right.
It's a place that promotes diversity, promotes tolerance, promotes understanding, whatever the student is. And in fact, it's part of the club is that they don't really ask.
Right.
They're not there to ask you what you are and how you identify. That's not what the club's about, is to promote understanding, as all the Gay Straight Alliances are. And the school somehow thinks that maybe they're going to go and promote you know, discussions about whether or not the law in Texas should prohibit same-sex sexual conduct, which that's not what they're about, though I find it interesting that the United States Supreme Court is about to have a debate about that.
Right.
Somehow,
which is going to...
Schools can't.
And depending on their decision, it's going to suddenly make that an argument a moot point.
We hope it will. Now, the other thing is, you know, that this is not a dating club. This is not a club for kids to get together and people to do matchmaking. But the school thinks somehow that just the students being together talking about issues related to gay youth is somehow going to encourage some kind of improper conduct. Of course, what I say is it is illegal in Texas for people to engage in sexual conduct with someone of the same sex. However, it is also illegal in Texas for minors to engage in sexual conduct. And regardless of what the Supreme Court does, that's still going to be a crime. And yet we still have a junior prom.
Maybe the band shouldn't be.
Kids get together, they go to dances, and somehow that's okay, though I would think that might encourage more pairing up. But, you know, so the school is throwing up these red herrings because that's not what the club's about. But even if one were to, you know, kind of look at it at face value, it's just ridiculous. And these are new arguments we have not seen before. And I think that the court's going to make short work of them because the law's so clear. There's really no question that what the school is doing is prohibiting conduct, prohibiting groups from meeting based on the viewpoint. This is a topic that is uncomfortable for the schools. And I think you and your listeners are not surprised that a lot of people are uncomfortable with these topics. And that's fine. You can be uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean you can prohibit these kids from having the club. The federal law and the United States Constitution is about letting people get together, talk about what they want to talk about. It's not about promoting some sort of, you know, least offensive milquetoast, whatever the majority is not going to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
Well, that's a bad thing, too, because how would someone who's a Christian, for instance, feel if they were in a school that was majority Muslim or Buddhist or something, Jewish, or Jewish, and they said, you know, you can't have a Christian after school club because that's going to offend a lot of the people who go to this school.
That's right.
I think it's ridiculous. You can take this to all kinds of limits.
Those are great points. And a lot of what speech is about, a lot of learning comes from being uncomfortable, from hearing a viewpoint that's different. If all we do is sit around and listen to people who are like us,
the same opinion over and over.
Yeah, you're not gonna get very far, and you're not gonna learn very much.
What's the next step?
Well, the next step is we're gonna have a hearing. We filed this last Wednesday, and we asked a judge to hold a hearing sometime in the next couple, 3 weeks, and where we're going to go and ask for this preliminary injunction, which will be an order immediately approving the club. And then we'll still have a lawsuit and we'll fight it out, but we want to get the club approved as soon as possible. Marla is a junior, so she's got a little more time, but you know, the school says, give us time. You know, we'll look at it in due course, but I'm afraid that due course is the day after she graduates.
Right, and they'll just think it's going to go away.
They will. This is a tactic, delay, delay, delay. And I've seen it before, and frankly, it's an effective tactic. As a general rule, if you're a person in power, an organization in power, you can just, nine out of ten people barriers will go away and will not exercise their rights. But Marla is a very... very special person. She's, I think a lot of your listeners may have seen her speak on the news or on the radio. She's extremely poised, extremely self-confident, and she has the strong backing of her family. Both her mom and dad support her fully. In fact, her dad is on the lawsuit with us, and this girl's not going away.
That's wonderful.
She is. She's wonderful. She's on the varsity tennis team and in the math club, and so she's well accomplished, and we're just so glad to have her as someone who didn't go away, someone who does speak out, just like we had Rosa Parks in the civil rights movement. It took one person to say, that's it. I'm not getting up. I'm not gonna gonna do what the powers be say I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stand up for my rights. And I think that's what she's doing here. The school is saying no, and she's saying, no, I'm gonna stand up for my rights, and I'm going to demand that the law be followed.
Right, and that's exactly what she's doing. She's not setting a new precedent here. This is the law. They are not following the law by denying this club.
That's right. The law applies to every public school in the United States, and even in northern suburban Houston.
That's great. So I guess we'll have you on again to catch us up.
We look forward to it. Hopefully after we have an order approving the club.
Well, that'll be great. And thank you so much. We've been talking to Dave George. He's the president of the Houston chapter of the ACLU. He's been telling us about what's been going on here in Houston regarding Klein High School and their attempts to start a gay-straight alliance. Now we're going to go back to another section of This Way Out, and you are listening to Queer Voices on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The gay, lesbian, bi, and trans community has had to endure the loss of several stalwart voices in the last few months, like radical fairy Harry Hay, lesbian author and theorist Monique Wittig, queer journalist Sarah Pettit, and legal advocate Mary Dunlap. Longtime Los Angeles advocate Morris Kite died on January 19th at the age of 83. Although his career in the movement was not without controversy, Kite helped organize the West Coast's first gay pride march in 1970 and many other early protest actions. He was co-founder of the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, now the largest such facility in the world, and served on the city's Human Relations Commission for over 20 years. At the April 2000 Millennium March for Equality, Kite was among the senior activists brought forward to pass the torch to the next generation.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. I speak these days a lot before non-gay audiences. They found out that I was right, and so I'm acceptable to them. However, it's enormously satisfying to speak at a mall full of lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual persons. You all look good to me. You all look free. You all look liberated. However, the Millennium March is exciting. This is the fourth such march on the Capitol. There was a march in 1987, one in 1993, one in 1979, and in 1985, I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to appear before the National Gay and Lesbian Pride Events Conference to present the idea of our dropping out and celebrating Stonewall 25 in New York in 1976. It was a thrilling event. It was international. We are everywhere. You all know that now. And marching in the streets of New York were people from all the countries of the world. This talk is directed at all of us. However, I particularly talk today to the youth, younger people among us. We fought for you, and we need a rest. And by your response, I can tell that you're ready, willing, and able to carry the torch, because work has to be done. Let me painfully take you back to the bad old days. Thank heavens you don't have to live through any of that. In 1968 and 69, psychiatrists said we were sick. And they lobotomized us and did electroconvulsive shock therapy, feeling that they could burn out of our brain our love, that our brain would just go blank and we would no longer be gay. They were wrong. And so we protested in New York and Washington, D.C., and in Los Angeles we had a civil disobedience at one of their conferences. In 1973, they took us off the sick list. So you're no longer sick. Before liberation, the church in all of its forms considered us sinful. So sinful that the church was not willing to send missionaries to convert us. They considered we were such spiritually defective persons that they wouldn't waste missionary time on me. We have done something about that. Our community has created a major church, the Metropolitan Church, in Los Angeles in 1973, Beit Haim Hadashim was created, the first lesbian, gay, Jewish temple, and there are temples everywhere. Isn't it wonderful? The nuclear family, the family who we came from, considered us birth defects. We're not to judge them. They didn't have access to the information. They were told we were inferior, and so they acted embarrassment and treated us as inferior. Now we have the National Gay and Lesbian Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and the families are learning, as society is learning, that we're okay. And so it's okay to love your family. It's wonderful if you can love your family. It's wonderful if you can be gay and lesbian and transgendered and bisexual in their presence. Education taught that we were abnormal. When I enrolled at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas in 1937, I rushed to the books to find out who I was. And I found a 900-page book called Abnormal Psychology. And half the pages describe me. We don't have those books anymore. Universities, colleges, all over have gay and lesbian studies programs. It's all right to study us. It's all right to be us. It's all right to be one of us. It's all right to be lesbian. It's all right to be gay. It's all right to be transgender. It's all right to be bisexual. And so the police treated us as unapprehended and unconvicted criminals. It was horrible. Thank heavens you don't have to live through that. It was a U.S. We were by them considered sinless offenders. We were guilty of being gay and not being heterosexual. The police still do that in some places. However, they're light years ahead of where they were 30 years ago. And so now in their presence, it's okay to be gay. Employers treated us as employable only at entry-level employment. And so we now are in the boardrooms. We are the professions. We are the politicals. We are everywhere. And so that's my message to you. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. I'm the happiest old man in the world today.
That was the late Morris Kite speaking at the April 2000 Millennium March for Equality.
Hello, this is Todd Haynes, the writer-director of Far From Heaven, and you are listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Ruben has a premonition, the therapy sisters need a stalker, and Mary Lofstrom will do dot as we open up this month's audio file.
Oh, Tyler tied and tangled.
New York artist Ruben starts off our first segment of 2003 with a funky blend of R&B and electronica. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Ruben's debut CD is called Dusk, and it touches many musical genres.
Well, I guess I'd say Dusk is just a real interesting mix of stuff. It's very singer-songwriter. So imagine if you take Stevie Wonder and then more contemporary stuff like electronica and you mix it together. It's kind of that vibe.
Take a step up a flight of stairs out of a scary hole you were pushed down into. Maybe there is a glimmer of light after a fight. Make it a point to push on through. Go Papa maybe out of his head. And Mama in bed. Cut your losses, let the dead bury the dead. Cause you got your right to the occasion. What are you waiting on? What you gonna do?
Find out more about Reuben and CD Dusk at www.reubenbutchart.com. That's www.reubenbutchart.com.
Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching. And laugh like your mama said. You'll get no spinach if you don't finish all your dessert.
From Austin, Texas, come Maureen McLean and Lisa Rogers, who call themselves the Therapy Sisters with their fourth album entitled Sound Mind.
They give us folky political songs with a message, and they say they get as much therapy from their audiences as they give. Here's Maureen describing their strategy.
Humor cracks you up, and while you're cracked, we try to stick a little message in there before you close up again. So that's the technique that we're using. And we're also trying to be genuinely funny and not just artificially funny just to get rhetorical messages across.
From an early age, I knew I was born for greatness. A gypsy said that fame was my destiny. But fortune keeps on slipping through my fingers. And thus far, fame has eluded me. I've got ambition. Okay, make that green. I've got everything it takes, but I still can't seem to make it. There's just one more thing I need. I need a stalker, someone to tail me, someone to threaten to expose me and blackmail me. I've gone about as far as I can get. My headshot isn't splashed across the tabloids yet. I'm not looking for someone to walk me home. I'm just looking for someone to stalk me.
The CD is called Sound Mind by the Therapy Sisters, and you can find out more about them at www.thetherapysisters.com.
In the hush of dawn, someone I adore waits for me. Waiting to be, wanting for we. Sweet, sweet.
That smoky jazz sound comes from Mary Lofstrom and her latest CD called Ginger Comes to Stay.
In this album, she displays her versatility with her songwriting and the song she chooses. And to both, she gives her own identity.
I describe my musical style as traditional vocal jazz. However, I do add that flavor of lesbian identification. I don't like to hide who I am. I don't like to obfuscate who I'm singing about. That becomes an issue. I view that as a matter of integrity.
And wait till you hear her scat.
Any time of day, hear me say any time or tune. Hear me croon any time of night, yeah, get it right. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I did that, I did that.
For more information on Mary Lofstrom and her CD, Ginger Comes to Stay, visit www.shimmeringfish.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I did that. I did that.
Singing out do dot. That was went from record JD to live JD.
That's right. You're famous.
I want to introduce a group. I've got a special medley I did for the Kinsey Six. They're coming to town this week, so I put together a 6-minute medley of 9 of their songs so y'all can hear a good, quick idea of it. And then I'm going to talk about where they're going to be after that. Jack?
If you ever see a show out west. Nothing sweller and drag a pella. It's the best. Get your kicks from the group Kinsey Says. Where the guys are, someone waits for me. Blonde hair that glows, a tiny nose, a strangely quiet family. Where the guys are can be a mystery. I found church pews are filled with Jews who want guys in the sack religiously. When I was just a little boy, girl, I asked my mother, what would I be? Will I wear makeup? Will I do drag? And drive a pink caddy? Mary Kay, Sarah, whatever you'll be,
whatever you'll be,
just don't look more glam than me. Mary Kay, Sarah.
On your motorbike, first you met a girl named Lynn. You had 2 dates, then you moved in. Maybe someday you'll have sex again, or make it with your ex again. Bang 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 bang.
Spring is here and my domestic partner is too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll put a sign that says just married on our Subaru. We'll say I can't because we can't say I do. At a wedding ceremony worth manure. You say we're going to the chapel, but we cannot get married. From Vermont to Minneapolis, no, we cannot get married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love.
In the mood for a potential spouse, I cruise young men in all the bars. I think I'm not that old, damn it. But then they say,
but Blanche, you are.
I have the feeling that my age is precarious. My youth is vicarious.
You're scaring us. You're scaring us. Lost a good job in the city, 'cause I was looking for a man every night and day, and I never
got a minute of sleep, 'cause I was cruising the piers by every river and bay. Big queens keep on turning, proud Marys keep on yearning, trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
I said trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sign is just a sign. These fundamental things apply, gay, straight, or bi. Gay, straight, or bi.
Do and do.
Hey girl,
hey fella,
come listen to a little Dragapella. Don't you know, you can bet we're the world's first beauty shop quartet.
La 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 da da,
la 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 da da. What's that noise? Joy of joys! It's a girl group
made of boys.
We're Vaselina,
Winnie,
Rachel,
Alex.
We're the Kinsey Six.
Wah, 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 do, 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 do.
Come, lassies, come, lads, go, girls, and go, Nads.
We're a fruity,
natty
party.
Let's get a taste of the Kinsey
Six.
The Kinsey Six. I've been waiting for them for so long to come to town, and they're here this week. They call themselves America's Favorite Dragapello Beauty Shop Quartet, and they sing wonderful harmony. Have you just heard? They do it in drag, and they are funny and talented. They're coming to Hobby Center starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 nights. It's $27 during the week, $31 on the weekend. So you can call Hobby Center and make reservations there.
That's a lot of shows. Do they have a website?
Yep, they do. www.kinsey6.com. Kinsey is K-I-N-S-E-Y, just like the Kinsey Report. Six is S-I-C-K-S, because they are so sick.
Coming up next week, we're going to, of course, be talking to David Elliott in our first segment from Washington. He usually updates us on the national news. And in the second hour, we're going to be interviewing Mitchell Kateen to update us on the Supreme Court 2106 case, the sodomy law.
I may come in for that.
You always come in.
I know he's been here every week. It sounds like he just stops by occasionally.
There is an event happening at the Center for AIDS. It's the first part of its series of HIV Past, Present, and Future. The Center for AIDS is pleased to host Dr. Aiden Rios, HIV practitioner and pioneer, and this is a real doctor.
He's been at a long time, too.
Yes, and that's going to be happening Wednesday, the 29th, dinner served at 6 p.m. It's the Center for AIDS at 1407 Hawthorne at UPON, and you can call Rich at 713-527-8219. And their website is centerforaids.org to get some more information.
I wanted to talk to you about, there's a new book out by Timothy James Beck. It's called He's the One. For those who don't know, Timothy James Beck is a Houston author.
I do. Yeah. I met them.
You met them, yes. There are actually several authors, and they go by Timothy James Beck, and their first book was called It Had to Be You.
You gave a glowing review in the Triangle.
So good. I read it in like 2 days.
You gave it an A+.
It was excellent, and it continues. You can read it as a sequel to It Had to Be You, or you can read it as a standalone.
So it doesn't matter if you read it first.
No, it does not matter if you read it first. Just
fast-paced, funny, and all your old favorites from It Had to Be You, some interesting new characters.
Can I borrow it?
Yes, you can, as a matter of fact. But, I love these authors. They're wonderful. We hope to have them on the show here within the next month. And I was just so impressed because a lot of times sequels are never as good. Mm-hmm. Second books are never as good as first books. But, they did a wonderful job.
Can I say hi to Wendy and thank her for calling in? It's so nice when the listeners call in and just mention that they're there.
And mention that they love JD.
I didn't say that.
JD has so many fans. JD has fans all across the country, we'll have you know. We get calls from as far away as Ohio talking about how wonderful JD is.
Well, what's Netcast?
In the Chronicle today, there is an op-ed piece by Beverly McPhail, PHAIL, and it's called Bush Has Already Declared War on Women.
I saw that.
Wonderful.
Yes. You can find it online at cron.com, and it's free. You have to register, but I believe it's free. You can get on there and get the information. She is a Houston-based writer on gender issues and co-author of the book Confronting Sexism and Violence Against Women. I'm going to try to see if we can get her on the show.
Yeah.
She's local?
She's Houston-based.
Okay.
Yeah, and she would be a good person to have on the show because the things that are being done to women by the Bush administration are very insidious.
Oh, and, so much so.
And, well, it's not just women.
Right.
No.
No, it's not.
As she says in her op-ed piece.
But they're very insidious, and they're being done behind the scenes, and I'm afraid it's going to be one of those situations when we quit looking at Iraq, everybody's going to be shocked
by surprise.
Exactly.
Gee, what happened behind our backs?
Yeah, how many of our rights have been stripped away.
Well, and you can check it. It's on page 19A of the Chronicle, or check it online, cron.com. Very interesting, and we're all in the same boat here. You're listening to KPFT Houston, a Pacifica Foundation station, and we're going to start Queer Music Heritage a little bit earlier tonight so that we can get it all in. And we'll be back next week, being the first week of the month. We will have David Elliott, as I said, and we'll be talking about 2106. And coming up in February, of course, we will be asking for money to help support this program and this station. And so don't tune away. It'll be happening at the second part of February. As I said, you're listening to KPFT Houston, a Pacifica Foundation station.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I'll cover a lot of years and types of music, mostly because I just don't think lesbian and gay music of the past should be forgotten. And I try to give a little information about the music as I go.
So I say from me to you, dreams come true. Do you love me? Do you suffer, girl?
Welcome to my third anniversary show. I think I've got a good show lined up for tonight, and it includes a special interview with the members of Wishing Chair. I think they are among the best folk artists to come along in years. So please stick around for that. For my intro song this month, I used Frank's version of Surfer Girl from her 1991 album, Positively Frank. And Frank is spelled P-H-R-A-N-C. She's been producing openly lesbian music since her first release in 1985. The first part of tonight's show will honor some of the lesbian performers of the earlier years of our music culture. And there's hardly a better place to start than with the first openly lesbian album. In 1973 in New York City, there was a group called Lesbian Feminist Liberation, and one of their activities was to have musical performances at the Firehouse, which was in effect the unofficial gay and lesbian community center in the early 70s. As the story goes, one of the members was thinking that she'd really love to have a record of the music they do at the Sunday shows, so that she could hear it any time. And then asked herself the question, well, why not record the show? And the rest is herstory. They recorded one of the shows in 1973 and called the album A Few Loving Women. It was essentially a talent show, or open mic, and that's easy to tell musically. I want to play a set of three of the songs from the album. You won't be impressed by the singing, but these songs are definitely historical. The third song is really the noteworthy one from the album. The set starts off with Woman Like Me, and then one called Edith.
Women like me have jobs to do and houses to keep and children to rear and love to share with women like me. Pictures to paint and songs to make and love to give to women like me. Women like me have jobs
like me
and houses to do and children to rear and love.
The first track was called Women Like Me, and on the album it's listed as being done by Women Like Me, and the second song, Edith, was by Lucy Wilde. I strongly suspect Wilde was not her real name, and it was the third song of the set, my favorite from the album. This artist did use her real name, Margaret Sloan. Here she is introducing her song, I'd Like to Make Love to You.
I was just going to say, in Chicago, when I wrote the song, it was bothering me because I was trying to imagine I was writing it to one